beginning of Koheles. Today we start Koheles. We'll leave the elaborate introduction for another time. I always find the introductions are much more meaningful when you finish the Sefer than when you start the Sefer. You have to first jump into the Sefer to get an appreciation of what the Sefer is about, then you can go back to the Hakdama. Now, Baruch Hashem with Koheles, we are reacquainted with our old friend. He came back to visit us. The Sif say no, the Mitzudas David. Okay, it's been a long time since we had the Mitzudas David. So Baruch Hashem, we have the Mitzudas David. I'm also planning to do the Targum. So it's going to take a little while to try to do this. Try to do the scroll. We'll do the Rashi, the Targum, and the Mitzudas David. Okay, and the Mitzudas Sin we'll just refer to here and there. And we need a good tight short. Let's just right away jump into the Sefer, and again, like we said, we'll come back to the Hakdama another time. Just one point, we mentioned this already a few times, that Shlomo, he wrote three Sfarim. He wrote Mishle, and he wrote Shir HaShirim and Koheles. We mentioned this a few times, that he wrote these things at different parts of his life. He wrote Shir HaShirim when he was young. Young, and a person is young, they're full of passion. And they are very idealistic. Shir HaShirim represents the outlook of a person's life when they're young and idealistic. Their sheifas, their dreams, that's Shir HaShirim. Sefer Mishle is what he wrote in middle age. He wrote when he was in the midlife crisis. Midlife result, reaction to the midlife crisis. He wrote his perspective on the world when a person is in the middle of his life. And Koheles, as will be clear as we go through the Sefer, is something that he wrote at the very end. This is his afterword. Afterword, what's it called? This is his...
Afterword.
Yeah, afterword. This is what he wrote to reflect...
Before
and the afterword. This one, epilogue, right? So epilogue. The epilogue, this is what his analysis of life after he lived a full life. Okay, so let's right away jump in. Divrei... He lived 52. Shlomo Melech, 52? Like Shmuel, same thing, 52 years old. And indeed, there's a lot of discussion about Midrashim with the words in the Pasuk Beis. We'll come to that as we go through the Sefer. So let's begin. Divrei, the words of Koheles. Okay, Koheles obviously is a code word for Shlomo HaMelech. We'll see in a moment what it really alludes to. Koheles. Koheles comes from the word of Kahal. Kahal means assembly. The man who... assembled, who incorporated, absorbed all that the world had to offer. Koheles is Shlomo ben David. He is miyaches himself to his father ben David, Melech, the king, Yerushalayim, the king of Yerushalayim. Okay, so let's first take a look at the Rashi. I think always the let's first do the mitzvah. What do we do first? So this is Rashi. Let's do a Targum. All right, let's start with the Mitzudos. Let's start with the, I think the Mitzudos usually is more pshat, the most pshat from them all. And then we can go to the Rashi, then the Targum. Let's see. The Mitzudos is a very long Mitzudos, the Hakdama to the Sefer. Divrei Koheles, Yodua. Now, the Mitzudos here is doing something that is uncharacteristic of the Targum, where he gives us a more of a philosophical understanding of Koheles and of Shlomo. Now here we go. Yodua, he's coming in. What he's saying over here now is coming to explain the three parts of the Pasuk. Part number one of the Pasuk is the words of Koheles. Why is Shlomo HaMelech described? Why does he refer to himself with this expression Koheles? It's a term that it's made up. Kahal. Kahal with a tough at the end. The person who collected everything that there is in this world, all of the information, all every possible experience, every possible joy, every possible sadness was incorporated into his being. That's the first thing that it says in the Pasuk. The second part of the Pasuk, it says, Ben David. He is a product, he's a child of someone, of David HaMelech. And obviously David has transmitted to him a Messiah, a heritage. He has given over, he has taught him things that he did not know. And then it says the third expression, Melech Birushalayim, he was a king, which means that he had a day job. What I'm telling you now is not just from the world of the academia. A lot of professors, they sit in their office and they just philosophize. Ain't a doyme, a professor that's out in the field, that has, I know my own professors in college, the certain professors that they really, this was a second job. Their main parnassah, they were deeply involved in industry. And when they come into the classroom, they bring with them not just a philosopher, you know, they have a PhD, and they're very, very qualified.
Connection to the real world.
They bring into the classroom a connection to the real world. That's an incredible, incredible thing. Some colleges don't even allow that. Some colleges, they only want, you know, their professors to be involved in academia. They're not there to be involved in the liberal arts. That used to be a very big thing, that you should be dafka, not bring into the classroom anything practical. Everything has to be theoretical. You have to come out knowing nothing. Have no skills. It's a terrible, I don't know what the chachma is. That's really the way it was in my day. It was set up is that, you know. And even in the yeshiva world, you know, it's very interesting. Tar v'das, kimat, you know, the yeshiva doesn't seem to pay a very good salary. Kimik parnasa being a rosh yeshiva. So there in the yeshiva, kimat, every rebbe has another job. Rabbi Reisman, he's a full-time rabbi. Rabbi Belsky has only 10 other jobs. He's the Rami. He's there in the OU at least 2 days a week, I think. He's there one day for sure. He used to be there. I think now he's there.
The official stance of the OU, they don't want you to have another job if you work for them.
They don't want you to have. They have exceptions.
That's what they tell you. They don't want somebody who has a shtetl.
Of Herschel Schachter is Rosh Yeshiva NYU, and he's there a whole one day, at least a whole day. He's there from morning until night.
Sure.
And Rabbi Belsky is there. He used to, when I was in yeshiva, I'm still there, but when I was there, he was there Thursday. That's it. He's not there in yeshiva. He's there from morning until night in the OU. And then I think, and then there was another day where he was there in the afternoons. And I think now he's there already 2 days a week. He's there visiting the OU. Besides all those other things that he's involved in. And it's an incredible thing because when you go to a shir, he teaches here a day, teaches school, and he brings into the classroom, I mean, the most amazing story. I mean, he hears in the office, in the OU, the stories, the horror stories that are taking place all over the world, literally. Every horror story in Kashrus comes into his ears. And he brings this into the classroom. So it's a tremendous smile. Tremendous. Rabbi Reisman, I mean, it's incredible. He brings into the classroom every shayla that the Balabatim present him. He's involved in a million things. So I always found it to be a tremendous smile. Other yeshiva I know, they bedavka, they discourage it. And there's a tremendous smile to it because they bedavka want the Rebbe to be roishoy v'ruboy shokua in the Talmidim and not have other tirdas. They pay them a much, much bigger salary than you should have yeshiv hadas just to focus on the Talmidim. So everything obviously has milus and chesroinus. There's no perfect world. So but he will never finish this thought. But here in this pasuk, we're telling the pasuk, that's why I just want to give you some background to them. This is a very long nesudas. He philosophizes is that Shlomo HaMelech brought to the table in this sefer the best of everything. He was a philosopher, right? He philosophized. But also he had experience, real life experience. He was the mayor. You know, he was on you know, ground zero. He was there. He was there in right in the center of exactly what was happening in the city, in Yerushalayim. And also, he received a tradition from his father, David, the milus of every possible way of looking at the world, from his own machshavas, from the machshavas of his predecessors, and from real life experience. That's the essence of what the Mitzvah is about to say. Yes?
I remember when I went to Torah V'Gadash in the late '50s and early '60s, Rebbeim had to have outside jobs.
They still do.
They couldn't make parnassah.
And they still do exactly what Tar V'Das. You cannot make a parnassah. You're either independently wealthy or you're in a lot of trouble.
I remember one Rebbe Einhorn, all of the show, my seventh grader. He was an insurance salesman. And another Rebbe gave on mitzvah lessons.
Of course. I know, so what I learned with, he told me he had a relative who was a Rebbe in Chaim, but this goes back probably 50, 60 years ago. I used to learn with him, Daf Yomi, so he says that he had an uncle who he had, I wonder, one of his relatives that was a very loyal Rebbe in Chaim Berlin for many, many, many years. And then one day he quit. He took a job somewhere in industry. So Rav Chudnis called him over and says, what did you do? You're my Rebbe, my yeshiva, you just quit. So he's here already for 10, 15 years, and you're a very good Rebbe. They tell me they love you, why are you leaving? So he says, Rashiva, you know, I haven't gotten paid in around. in a few years. There's only that much I can do, you know, hold out. Already, it's been already, I need to make a parnas also. So I understand, it goes without saying, okay, obviously. Strikes, there were strikes.
Rabbi used to have meetings.
Yeah. They used to go on strike. They did go on strike. Everyone knows in Tar V'Das, they would go on strike. It was horrible, horrible stuff.
English teachers used to go on strike.
English to everyone. There was no money. There's still no money. I mean, it's still this, how it is, yeah.
'40s and '50s. And the Hebrew teachers,
yeah,
they didn't use the word Reveim, they were Hebrew teachers, taught in the yeshiva from 9 to 1 or 9 to 2, and they all had jobs teaching in Talmud Torah.
Of course.
And they had Talmud Torahs. Talmud Torahs went out of business, and therefore the yeshivas had a greater pressure to increase
salaries sure.
For the Reveim.
Sure.
My father ended up teaching history and social studies in high school. While he was a Rebbe all morning, and that was for those 15, 20 years, he actually got
better.
They still do, English teachers. The English teachers still do. What? None of them are licensed, of course not. None of them are licensed, of course. There's no requirement. I don't think there's a requirement by law that they have the Limude Chol in high school. It's not required by law they have to be licensed. They just have to, students have to pass, they have to be in the classroom, they have to pass the regents. Okay, this is what, let's read the Mitzvahs, a long Mitzvahs. Here we go. Direko Helas. Yodua, it is known. Shachakira hamu'ula. Hakira is like, I don't know how to translate it, the analysis. Analysis, the ultimate analysis, the ultimate understanding and analysis. Lo tishtalem, ela b'shloishim ponim gam yachad. In order to be a chacham, to be a wise man, and to have a full, deep understanding of life, you have to combine three different. Perspectives. You have to analyze something from three perspectives. Ha'achas. Number one, mifas, is the I'll translate with mifas from loosely, the perspective. Ho'iyun, on to the next page on the left side, b'shetiyye b'kvutzas deos michulafos. When a person collects different perspectives, different ideas, michulafos, that can be exchanged. I'm not sure exactly. Just means to collect many different
knowledge
from all different angles. To compare one perspective to another perspective. To understand which one makes the most sense. In other words, to take ideas. To sit in a classroom, to sit in an office, and to philosophize. To think. Is this the right thing? Is this the right thing? And to be maven dover mitoch dover on your own, to analyze a situation and to think about a dilemma and analyze it logically from every single perspective. That's the first way to come to an understanding of a matter. Hashenis. The second way to come to an understanding of a particular matter is mifas hakabbalah. Open up the textbook. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. You have a dilemma. You have a situation at hand. What does it say in the guidelines? How do we deal with this particular problem? Don't philosophize. Don't sit and think about it too much. Open up the books. Nifas HaKabbalah. To go look at the tradition. Me'odam Rosho Mechachmo V'yira. Read the book. Read what the wise people before you have told you to do in this situation. And of course, the best thing would be to ask your own father. Your father's not going to lie to you. Your father will tell you what to do. V'amu'ula, the best thing is B'yotzim HaMusar HaKabbalah. If the HaMusar HaKabbalah, the one that gives over the tradition, Yim Serena Libano, gives over to his son. The father wants his son to do well, to succeed. The Yim Serena Ba'ayin Yofe will give you the solution, what to do. Like what Ramayevsky said yesterday, you call up your father, what's the halacha? The father will tell you exactly the best solution. Hashlishis, what is the third way to deal with a difficult situation? Mifas, hamifchon v'hanisoyon mehadvorim hamisavim. Try it, experiment. There's nothing like real life experience. I've already tried this, I've come to a conclusion what to do, and I've acted upon, I've implemented my plan, and now I have the results. What?
Experience
is the best. Is the best teacher. Experience. So we have here three different mahalchim. The kol shekein im yishavu hadvarim b'mokim abris hachachma. Certainly, if you want to do experience, do a real experience, a real life test, not a theoretical test on a laboratory animal. You go out into the real world in a place where there's a lot of action. To understand the truth of the matter according to what it is. Therefore, now that we know that there are three things that must come together in order to come to three things. There are three ways to approach a situation.
Begin with in that order, possibly, maybe first you have to be able to do analysis in order to understand what you're being told by your parents and your reading. And then even after when you do analysis, do you think that ideally this is the best way? Sometimes, practically speaking, something else.
Right. What looks good on paper doesn't.
That's why he gives it that particular order.
Theoretically, this is the way we should do, and with consultation from our predecessors. But then when we try it, we see that no, just because it's good theoretically, it doesn't work practically.
So you have to con us at different doors.
Every generation has to be adapted to what works for the generation. Absolutely.
So the experiential. Come up with a theory.
Right.
You hear what other people in the past have said about the theory, the parents. And you practically do experiments.
And you experiment, exactly. So it's exactly what this pasuk is going to come. This is exactly what the Mitzudis is coming to lay down the foundation to understand the meaning of this pasuk.
Is there consultation with others?
Yes, that's what it says here. That Ben David. Ben David means that there was a consultation. Over here, Shlomo is saying, there were many situations in my life. I had dilemmas. I didn't know what to do. The first thing was I thought about it. I locked myself up in a room and I was misbeided. I philosophized all the various techniques of what I can do. The next, I went and I consulted with my father, with others. Here he just gives an example, my father. Dad, this is the problem. I think this is the best solution. What do you think? And there was a discussion. And then they came to a conclusion. And then he put it into practice. He did an experiment, a real life experiment. And he learned from that experience.
So when he consulted,
and he made a decision. It was a bad decision. But here it's more. He did an experiment. Let's see the words. Therefore, now we go further into this. Therefore, Amar Hamatik. Therefore, the Hamatik means the one that's writing, the author of this sefer, which is Shlomo HaMelech, of course. The Psichas HaSefer Divrei Koheles. He wrote. All three techniques were employed in order to tell you what I'm about to tell you now. Rutzalaymar hadvarim ho'ele, the following words of this sefer. This is the hakdama to the sefer. Nechkiru were analyzed through all three. Number one, Ali de Kivutzas Deos Michulafois. Number one, I collected every possible approach to a problem, theoretically. Number two, it was done with Siruf HaKabala Me'odam Roshum B'Chochma Uviyira. It was through the consultation and the tradition handed down by the wisest of all men. Who is that? Who David HaMelech, my father David. Number three, Yamakabel Hayyubin, who is the one that received the tradition? Hayyubin was a son, Asher Yonak, which nursed Shadei HaEmes. Shadai HaEmes. Shadei means the bosom of MS, like a child nursing from his mother's milk. And number three, it was done with Seruf Hanivchon. There was experimentation done. Mehadvarim Hamishavim B'Yerushalayim. I implemented these machshavas into practice in my city, in my hometown in Yerushalayim, Ir Malchusai, Asher. And don't think this was done on laboratory rats. These experiments were done on the best of the best. Were done on human beings who lived in Yerushalayim. Asher Anosheha Chachne Levav Hamas. Skilim who were wise, Amitas Ha'inin who fully understood the truth of the matter. V'hinei kol dover lo nichad min ha'melech ha'moylech ba. There is nothing king therefore withheld from the king that ruled in this city, Ucha Oimer, and what he means to say, Behiyois Kane, since I've gone through the technique, the scientific technique of analysis, of consultation, and of experimentation, everything now that I'm about to present is emes. Kane hine me'od nechku hadam b'shleimus rav. Everything has been fully analyzed. She'ein l'mala himenu, and there's nothing more you can possibly need to do. Just listen to what I'm about to tell you and accept this. It's mamish Torah Sinai. It's straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there's nothing, every possible avenue has been taken care of. This is what? Well, let's just follow through. So therefore, go back to the pasuk now. So now we understand what the three parts of the pasuk. Divrei, the words of Koheles. The reason why he's choosing the word Koheles, the Metzudas is telling us, because Koheles means to assemble. I have assembled, what kahal? I have assembled in my mind every possible approach to a dilemma. And furthermore, Ben David, consultation. My father, I discussed this with my father, what to do, how to go about it. And number three, I put it into practice. I was the Melech B'Yerushalayim. I had power to make decisions and to implement my machshavos, my decisions. And I can tell you the results. I'm giving you the stats. Okay, I'm giving you the stats. I'm telling you these are the stats of what the results were. So we know what works. We know what does not work. In marketing, everything is about testing. When you do marketing, what? What?
Prior to age 12?
Whatever it means whatever he did it.
This,
he's writing this safer at the end of his life. He's writing this at the end of his life. He's writing the safer at the end of his life, and he's giving you results. In marketing, we taught, whenever you let you make it, say, you can't do this in like on a paper magazine. If you go and you advertise in the New York Times, you don't really know who bought, who looked at your advertisement, but online, I'll give you a simple example. You know, online, when you make a banner. You make a banner when you write a text ad. You ever go to Google? Right, it's all full of ads on the right side. They're full of ads, and it's all text ads. So whenever you do an ad, you always make more than one ad, because every time you make an ad, everything is tracked. You track every single ad, how many times someone clicks. You're guaranteed one ad is going to be clicked on more than the other. If you have two different ways of writing the same advertisement.
Well, they're not the same position.
What? Let's say it's exactly, you put it in exactly the same position. So it has to be that one of the two advertisements will be clicked on more than the other. It has to be, right? One will be clicked on 10 times per 100 impressions, and one will be clicked on 8 times. So you know that the one that's clicked on 10 times is better. And you can't do this in New York Times. New York Times, you don't know how many people are going to go to the store because you have an advertisement. You can't, there's no way to test. But online, every time you click, you can track the clicking. Testing. You always have to have two advertisements, at least two. You can make 10. And always one is going to be the winner, and the one that's the winner after a couple of days is the one that you're going to permanently put in place, because that's the one that's proven. So you see, there's something called experimentation, there's something called testing. All three things are coming together in this pasuk. That's the pshat of the pasuk, l'fi, the understanding of the Metzudos Tavit. Yes, Sir Rappaport.
Two questions. One, Hashem Hatzbarach gave Shlomo Melech special talk, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's speaking from the hand. It's like you can have a CEO of a company that is a visionary. You see,
yeah,
and they pay him the big bucks for that. And you can have another Nebuchal leader of a CEO of a company. He's okay, nothing great. So what's it about? There's something unique about that first CEO. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him Shlomo Melech unique chokhmah. Is it that he stands above the rest of the world and he's just saying, look, I was fortunate, I had the chokhmah. Is that an additional ingredient that...
Obviously, yes.
The rest of us who don't have it?
Yes, I believe so. Hashem gave, he has the chachma. He was given the gift of chachma. Yes. He has an unfair advantage.
The rest of us.
But we all benefit. He has an unfair advantage because he was given unusual chachma. But we all reap the benefits of his unfair advantage. He's given over us all the secrets, the trademark secrets. He's written down all the secrets. So here they are.
So he's like writing a hafta, like a CEO or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. How to succeed. 10 steps to be a successful CEO. Absolutely. Oh, we're going to come to Targum. We're going to come to Right. We're going to come to Targum in a moment. Right. We're going to come to Targum. Is different. We're going to always the Mitsudos. That's why we go in this order. The Mitsudos is always pshat. He's always the bare bones, as simple as it can possibly be. The Targum is always the most midrashic. He's always into the esoteric, the Targum. Rashi is somewhere in the middle. Rashi, that's the whole goal of Rashi. Rashi liked to take Eina Bo Ela Lefarish Lefi Pshutai. If the Medrash makes sense in the Pshat Pasuk, I'll put the Medrash into the Pasuk. If the Pshat makes sense, I'll put the Pshat. Rashi's goal when he wrote this, his Sefer, was to be somewhere in the middle. So we're going to come to that in a moment. Yeah. Okay, let's go forward. Okay, let's now.
Yeah. When he wrote Gehelas, was he still married to the foreign wife?
I don't think we know exactly when he wrote it, and I don't think we know exactly when he was married to them, not married to them. Did he actually live with these wives? It was just a political alliance.
The houses were split. Obviously, something went wrong.
There are a lot of different tkufas in his mouth. There were a lot of tkufos. It's not clear what his relationship was with his wives. You know, he had all of these political alliances. What exactly does that mean? What? He married them clearly for political reasons. Does that mean he lived with them? They lived in this house? I don't know. Some say yes, some say no. I don't know.
It was enough to destroy the Malchus.
Well, Hashem had criticized them because they influenced him. They had influence on him, but he allowed them to build a temple for Avodah Zarah.
Was that included in Kohelis?
Seemingly yes, because Kohelis was written at the end of his life.
Okay.
And there are three Svarim: Shir Hashirim, Mishlei, Kohelis. Kohelis is the end. This is my afterword on life.
He knew he made a mistake because he says in Kohelis,
that's the type of he's referring to himself. He's referring to himself. He will see. Let's see over here the words of.
He's referring to Shlomo.
He was the Melech.
He was the Melech. Oh, so isn't that restrictive that he was the Melech being Shalayim and not Melech Yisrael?
Excellent. So the Medrash makes that point, and the Medrash says there were three tkufas in his life. First tkufa was he was the Melech over the entire world. He was the Melech Ish Tachas Gafna Tachas Tenasa. When he built the Beis Hamikdash, he ruled literally the entire world. In secular history, they have no record of this, but it's a Chazal say he ruled the entire world. And then it came a point where he lost his Malchus, and he only ruled over the whole Eretz Yisrael. And then it got worse. He went down only to Yerushalayim. He did not have control even over Eretz Yisrael. So at the end of his life, he's writing this at the end of his life, it's seen that at the end of his life, his power was, we could be, I'm officially the Melech over the whole Klal Yisrael. But they don't listen to me. My influence, I can say whatever I want to say, and they'll do whatever they want to do. In Yerushalayim, I have control. So that's, in the Chanami, that's where the Medrash makes that comment. It makes that comment over here. Let me exactly read you what it says. I'll read you the words. Okay, this is the Medrash Zuta. Okay, in Shir HaShirim, not even over here. V'lama hiska shayi melech b'Yerushalayim, elo kamo shalamanu, shloish shashimam ha-shlomo, k'neged shloish ha-yuridais. He wrote three shirim, the three, k'neged shloish ha-yuridais. Shayarad. V'shayinu ha-shayi melech misayif ha-aylam v'yat sayfai. V'nismata malchuso v'chozel lios melech al-yishol bulvad. Shekedu oimer, Mishlei begins, Mishlei Shlomo ven David melech Yisrael. Initially, in the middle of his life, when he wrote Mishlei, he was the Melech of the entire Klal Yisrael, not over the whole world. He already lost when he was young, maybe. When he wrote Shir HaShirim, then he was Melech over the entire world. Then Yerida Shnia Shechazal Yis Melech only over Birushalayim. Bilvat Shekein Hu Oimer Divrei Kohelis Ben David Melech Birushalayim. Okay, Hayerida Hashlishes. Okay, then he goes on to say there was another Yerida. Then he goes on to say there's another Yerida where he was only Melech over no one. He lost everything. So first he was Melech over the entire world. Then he was Melech only in Al Yisrael. Then he was only Melech for you. Then only Melech on Yerushalayim. And then there was a fourth Kufa where he was nothing. He couldn't even be Melech on himself. He was
in the order?
And that's what it says here. It says here, Yeah, Hayuido Hashlishes, he went down a third madrega. Shamardu bo bnei Yisrael, v'lo hayimelech ella al mitasei bilvad. He only ruled over his bed. The demons were scaring him, and he had to have shishim gibarim savla migibar yishol to protect him from the demons. He even descended to a lower level. Okay, so we have different.
If he kept on descending more, what's his greatness?
What?
If he kept on descending, what's his greatness?
His greatness is at least at one point in time he was in the whole world.
He married a woman.
At least he had the experience, right? He had the experience of, you know, once you're a king. No, it seems not. There was a tkufa ashmedai. A demon came. We also the famous Gemara of Basra. A demon came into the Beis Hamikdash and kicked him out. And the demon, it was an imposter. The demon looked just like him, and he sat on his throne and he made believe. And it took them a very long time to realize that this is not Shlomo. It sounds like some type of science fiction movie, right? Where you have the melech of the whole world, and all of a sudden it took them a long time to realize that this is an imposter. How did they realize? Because a demon's feet looked like chicken feet. So the day came when he went for a swim. He went for a swim in the pool, in the royal pool, and they saw that the feet did not look like human feet. Then they realized that this is not the king. This is an imposter. And where was Shlomo HaMelech? He was wandering out there in the street, and you can imagine he knocks on someone's door and he says, "Can you give me what to eat? Who are you? You have an identification. Who are you?" "I'm the Melech of Klal Yisrael." "You and all the loonies in the psychiatric ward." Right? Like in the psychiatric ward, there one person walks around and says, "I'm Rothschild." And the other one says, "I'm a Digus, what's going to be? I can have Parnassa." So the one who thinks he's Rothschild says, "Don't worry, I'll take care of you. I'm Rothschild." And the other one is, "Oh, Baruch Hashem. It's a good shirach." The two Mishugoyim in the Mishugoyim house. One convinces Rothschild, takes care of the one that's all worried what's going to be, the world's coming to an end. And when they mitzapef, and they say, they start davening together, they animam, bemun, yes, I'm Mashiach. The third one says, "Oh, I'm Mashiach. A little world, the oilam katan." In the psychiatric ward of all the Mishugayim, everyone there together. So can you imagine Shlomo HaMelech, he went and he told everyone he was the king. They all looked at him like, "You're insane. I'm really the Melech, don't you believe me?" So when his Malchus was restored by some miracle, somehow he was able to prove that he was the king. So then he went and he reminisced on the way people treated him. Some people they were very good to him, and some people were very not good to him. And
how did he get back?
I don't know. I don't think it says in the Gemara. I don't know how it says in the Gemara. There was some. It's only me Hashem Yotza Hadavar Hashkocha Pratis. That he was able to somehow get back.
He was never rehabilitated.
Never. He never came back. He never fully came back.
According to the Gemara, he lost his Olam Haba, and they, David HaMelech, tried to deceive him very unsuccessfully. And basically, he was, that was it.
And Sanhedrin. The Rabban wanted that. They wrote in the Mishnah, there are four kings, have no chelk in the Elohim, that's interesting. They have no chelk in Olam Haba, and the Rabban wanted also to write that Shlomo HaMelech has no chelk in Olam Haba. Because he married, violated what it says in the Torah. The Torah says, don't take more than four wives, don't go to have too much wealth. And he says, I know better than the Torah. Until they withheld, they recognized they were going too far, and they didn't write that in the Mishnah. Shocking things. These are not, what? Yeah.
Controversy about canonizing.
Because there are things that are very controversial in this, which Nechnami Rashi is going to allude to. So we don't understand what it means exactly. Okay, let's see now the Rashi. Rashi is a long Rashi.
The downfall of Bnei Israel.
Yes. The day when the Beis Hamikdash was built is when Italia shall yav shall, what was it say in the Gemara?
Romulus and Remus.
That's when it all began. The day that the seeds of Rome were planted, the seeds of Rome were planted on the day when Shlomo HaMelech inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash. When he inaugurated the Beis
HaMikdash,
he married her on the first, that was the day. He married Bas Paro on the night of the Chanukah Sabayis. He wanted to cement, he wanted to make a political alliance with Bas Paro to control the world that should coincide with the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash. Tomorrow is the first day of the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to open up Su'u Shalom Rashechem. Tomorrow is going to be the first day. He wanted already at that point to be the Melech over the entire world. And that required him to form a political alliance with Paro. So the night before he married the daughter of Paro, Melech Paro, he formed that alliance, and the next morning was the time when he was going to bring Mashiach by opening up the Beis HaMikdash. The problem was that night his new wife kept him up the whole night teaching him all the songs and dances that they do for Avodah Zarah, and he overslept, and his mother Bathsheba had to come wake him up. And because he overslept and the Beis HaMikdash got off to a bad start, Simone Milsa was a bad sign, and already there was a crack. What?
Was Yom Kippur?
I don't know if it was, no, it was not Yom Kippur. Chanukah Sabayis.
The
Chanukah Sabayis was 7 days before.
A week into.
The 7 days before. The seventh day, it was before, a few days before the Yom Kippur. And whatever, there's something along
the last day was
7 days. Sorry.
So what would be the that he sent them home?
Shmini Atzeres. So it's 14 days. So that was already the crack. It was already a crack in the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash on when he started. That's what it says in the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. Okay, let's see the Rashi, the long Rashi. Rashi Divrei Koheles a Kol Mokom Shnemar Divrei. Rashi adds a new dimension of Pshat, new Mahalach to understand what the Sefer is. All our good Hakdamas. Number one, Kol Mokom Shnemar Divrei. The word Divrei Ein El Divrei Toichachas. Rashi lays out the foundation. This whole Sefer is a Sefer of a Musar. Don't make any mistake about it. We're learning Musar. Normally we associate the Nevi'im with Musar. We don't typically associate Kesuvim with Musar. It's a very big Chiddush. Kesuvim and the Megillos are not words of Musar. The words of the prophets, the Nevi'im Acharonim, is Divrei Musar. That's all the Musar Svarim. The Mesilas Yesharim, the Shari Tshuva, Chavis Halavavis, they quote like water. They just draw from the Divrei, the Nevi'im Acharonim, words of Musar. But you don't normally associate Koheles with Musar. This is the exception. Ein ela divrei toichachas. Now he proves all different examples. For example, in the Chumash Devarim, ela hadvarim asher dimi Moshe. So what does it say? The Rashi quotes. How do you know that? How do you know the Chumash Devarim is Moshe? So he runs to the very least. You would think that he would quote the first pasuk, b'chatzeros v'dizav, the seven expressions of Moshe. No, he runs to the end of the Sefer Devarim, vayishman yishurun vayivot. So since the end of the Sefer speaks the words of Moshe, that's indication that the entire Chumash Devarim is all words of Moshe. Another almost the very beginning. What does Amos say? It says in Perek Dalet towards the end, Shimu Hadavar Hazer Paros HaBoshan. He calls them the fat cows of Boshan. It's a derogatory term. Derogatory referring clause like Vayishman Yeshun Vayivat. You've got fat. You have ignored HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Divrei Yirmiyahu. And what does the Yirmiyahu say at the end? It's fascinating what Rashi is doing over here. Rashi is taking the beginning of the Pas Sefer and then jumping to the end of the Sefer. Shalu no ru'u im yoleid zachar. He goes on to quote a Pas to see if a zachar gives birth. And you, the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu have allowed to do, it's a different expression of the great miracles Hashem have done for you, and what have you done in return for Hashem? You have been unfaithful to Hashem relative to the things that He has done for you. Next, another example, Shmuel Beis, Ve'elu Divrei David, and David concludes, V'li'al, a Rasha, Kikoitz Munod Kalham. Kalham means all of them. All of them are like thorns that fly in the wind. Wicked people, the Belial, an evil man, is like a person who will ultimately be cast away in the wind. Now that we know that the word Divrei, from the different examples that he has cited, always alludes to words of Musar, from the example cited, we can now go back into this pasuk and understand Divrei Koheles, and he right away jumps to a pasuk Hey, jumping ahead a few psukim, V'zorach Hashemesh Uvo Hashemesh. So it says there, now it says, Zorach HaShemesh, he describes the Musar of the Pasuk, So he says over here, and then he goes for pasuk zayin kol hanecholim holchim alayam. So he says that in this parak we're going to compare the wicked people to the sun and the moon. Why are they compared to the sun and the moon? So he explains. And to the yam, three things: Esar Hashem b'chama, to the sun, uvelavana, and to the moon, and two, the third thing is the yam. Why she'ein lohem matnas sochar? These three things do not receive reward. We don't find anywhere where HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards the sun, the moon, and the yam. Instead, they get nothing. So what was
isn't the moon eventually going to be restored?
So is that called a reward? I don't know the answer. I don't know. It's a very interesting rashi. I don't know. Let's just see what it's, you're right. Let's just see. But right now he says here that the wicked are compared to these three items. Number one, kach shenuyah b'sifrei. The lamadati misham, what Rashi says, what we learn from this sifrei, the following. She'inyin medaber b'rishon, that these psukim here that we're about to read over here, pasuk hey, vav zayin, refer to the wicked. V'him shilam litigvura sachama she'seifa she'kas. We compare them to the might of the sun that ultimately sets. The sun rises, it gets stronger and stronger, and it appears to us that it is unconquerable. The sun is shoylet betokfai, the intensity of the heat is extremely great, there's no one that can overcome the sun. And that is the nature of a rasha. When the rasha is successful, stay far, far away. There's no way you can overcome the rasha. But do not worry, just like the sun sets, the rasha will come to an end at some point in time. Then he adds on in this elaboration, Tosefes Dover Acher. Here we have an addendum, Tosefes Dover Acher, another interpretation. Now he focuses on the nature of the Necholm of the stream. Now also, what about the moon? We'll explain in a few moments. What about the stream? We compare them to the Kol HaNecholim Holchim Aliyam, all of the rivers, they flow into the Mediterranean. They flow into a much larger body of water. Mat Hamalem, what is the Pasuk and Pasuk Zion telling us by taking note that the streams flow into the Mediterranean? It's telling us, Be'ovdek avoid the Zor Nemar. This Pasuk alludes to the people who worship idols. Shaitim, the foolish people, Hamishtachavim Lamayim, they bow down to the Mediterranean. They believe the Mediterranean is a god. Why is it a god? Sevurim Shayesh, that they have their own power. Why? They see the Mediterranean, all of the streams flow. It never floods. It never fills up. It keeps on taking in more water, continuously more and more water, and the level of water of the Mediterranean pretty much is stable. It doesn't rise. So how could that possibly be? If they keep on filling up a bottle of water, it's eventually going to flood. It must indeed that the Mediterranean is a life force. It drinks the water. If it drinks the water, that means that it's a living creature. It's a living creature, it's a god. Okay, that's a little bit hard for us to understand exactly what we're trying to say, but that's what these people would say. Obviously, this fool is just a mushel. The Einam Yodom, these foolish people do not realize, Lahabin ki elamokim shalacholim holchim, sham him shavim aleches. The pasuk goes on, pasuk zayin and ches tells us is that it's not so. That from the place where the water flows, that's where the water returns. What do you mean the water returns? Because underneath the Mediterranean, this is what it says in Rashi, I don't know if scientifically what this means, there are channels where underneath the Mediterranean, the water goes back where it came from. There is a water cycle. Now, in our eyes, this means the water evaporates. It basically means that the sun shines and the water evaporates. It goes up and causes rain, and the rain goes onto the mountains and turns into snow. What? I know, but that's not what Rashi says. I'm well aware that's what it says in the textbooks, and that's what even Chazal say. But that's not what it says in this Rashi. Look at Rashi. They do not realize. The waters of the rivers that flow into the sea. Why? How could that possibly work on a cycle? They flow in some secret underneath channel, underneath the depth of the earth. But is it true that underneath the Mediterranean there is a channel that goes from underneath all the way back to the mountains? No such thing. That's what this is what Rashi says. So the mountains doesn't say this. Hey, noivim, I'm not making this up. Read the words. Mitachas hatohim, the holchim they go lemaila min hakarka. It goes above the ground, ad hayom, until the yam. The choizrim v'noivim, and they flow once again. They flow underneath the tohim, and they go lemaila min hakarka. Until the yam, I don't know what it means. Until the yam, I think until
the water table.
The water table recirculates.
Recirculates.
The chayyim v'noyim, and it flows once again. Lefichach, that's the real reason why ein hanahoros paiskin. The ein hayam mole, and the yam is not mole. There's a continuous cycle. But these foolish people, these foolish Ovi Avodah Zarah, they refuse to study the reality, and they think that the yam drinks the water. The yam is a living creature. Yam mole v'loy mibnei sheyesh b'hamamish. That the truth is, ain't a yam mole v'loy mibnei sheyesh b'hamamish. Adkan. So this is an additional note that was added in Tirashi, and it's alluding. Everything over here is alluding to the wicked people. From where? I don't know where.
It's an addition. It's not even.
It's a haggah. It's a Tosafos. Who wrote this? We do not know. I do not know. But
the question right there.
But the point over here is he's telling us over here. The idea over here is that when we're dealing with the sun. The sun is a marshal for the wicked. The sun will, the Rishon will ultimately set. The yam is also a marshal for the wicked. The yam that they worship the yam. And they don't realize that the yam is aimed by mamish, and the moon also it wanes and waxes. Ultimately, even though the moon it rises, it's like the sun. The sun rises until it reaches it waxes until it reaches a full moon on the 15th day. But ultimately, it sets. It wanes, and therefore the Rishon they will not succeed. Next words of Rashi, Koheles al shem shekiel. Why were we using the word Koheles? We know that what the Mesudas told us, but Rashi al shem shekiel chokmos. He collected same ideas as the many forms of wisdom. In another place in Mishnah, we call him Ogur Bin Yokeh. Ogur means to collect, and Bin means Yokeh means to vomit, to give forth. He collected wisdom and he taught wisdom. He took everything in. He understood everything. He organized it and he brought forth wisdom. Sheogar. Kol ha-chokhma, he collected all wisdom in this world. V'hikiyah literally means to vomit. But in this context means he gave it out. He gave it out in an organized way for the common man to understand the chokhma. V'yesh, some say, shahoyu oimer kol devarav behakel. Others interpret this passage with the very Koheles, is that he gave shiurim. Shlomo HaMelech did not just sit in his palace. He gave daily shir. He gathered assemblies in which he taught the people Torah. Melech b'Yerushalayim, Ir HaChachma. Yerushalayim is not just as regular. Since this pasuk here calls it Melech b'Yerushalayim in relation to the words of Koheles, that teaches us that Yerushalayim is the Ir HaChachma. We call it the Ir HaKodesh. There's a Hakpah, the people, they started saying today, Lakewood, the Ir HaKodesh. That's a Chil Hashem to say that. There's only one Ir HaKodesh, and that's the Yerushalayim. The only Yerushalayim is the Ir HaKodesh. It's the Ir HaTorah. There's only one Ir HaKodesh, and that is Yerushalayim. The Lakewood is called the Ir HaTorah. They call it the Ir HaTorah. But Yerushalayim is the Ir HaKodesh, and here it's called the Ir HaChochma. What does it say in the Sifsei Chachamah Yistalid? The Kosh L'Rashi, V'Halo, he's explaining to him, why is it called Melech Yerushalayim, the Sifsei Chachamim? The Kosh L'Rashi, V'Halo, Yehoyah Melech B'chol Yisrael. Chumay Shammah B'Sefer Mishnah, Shammah Ben Dedam Melech Yisrael. Chach Perish, Ir HaChochma, Yirtze Me'achash, B'Sefer Zeh B'Dam B'Chochma, Al-Kein Maskir, Shu Melech B'Ir HaChochma. The Rumas, Hayosh, Fas HaChochma, Mitzad Ovev, Mitzad Ir HaKodesh, Shohi Melech HaChochma. Kedusha brings Chochma. That's the famous story with Yirmiyahu and Plato. He met, I think it was Plato, is that the story was with Plato in the Medrash? That Yirmiyahu lived in the same time as Plato. Aristotle?
Plato.
Yeah. He met, and the legend is that.
And that's what brought Plato with him.
We brought Plato with him?
That's what the legend is.
The legend is that Yirmiyahu met Plato, and Plato said to him, why are you so upset about the Chomei HaMikdash? So he says, he said to him, you're a wise man, Yirmiyahu. What's the big deal? It's just bricks and stones. What's the big deal? It's a building. The Chochmah. So he said, play, do you have any dilemmas? Anything that's bothering you? Tell me all your questions. He says, there's no way you'll be able to answer my questions. You know what a Chochmah I am? I'm from the greatest of the great. So Yirmiyahu says, try me. Let's see, maybe I know something that you don't know. So Plato posed all of his big dilemmas, and without even blinking, Yirmiyahu answered all of his, the mysteries of the world. So Plato says, are you talking? How could it be? You're such a chacham. So he said, that's the answer to your question. That's why I'm crying over the Beis HaMikdash. You think it's just bricks and stones? It's not just bricks and stones. The Kedusha, the Shechina that was resting upon this Mokoyim is where I derived all of my chachma. The Kedusha, that's really what the Mesudas over here are saying, the Sizacham is saying in Shan Rashi, is the Ir HaKodesh. The Ir HaKodesh is where what brings chachma. Yerushalayim is the Ir HaKodesh, and Kedusha brings chachma. So that's why it says here,
it's a legend.
Yeah. They say, and then the legend goes on to say that all of the chachma of Plato, Aristotle, all comes from Yirmiyahu. It was all plagiarized. All of their books and their chachmas, this is the pleasure, it was all plagiarized straight from.
Why is the Rambam?
Learn the Vuchim, Sefer Hamada. Well, that was the whole thing because with the burning.
Because his whole thing was
Aristotelian.
They didn't. That was the difference between the Spanish Jewry and the European Jews of Europe. And that was the whole controversy. The burning of the Talmud. That's what they said. The Shilas Chalem. The burning of the Talmud in 1242.
That's Plato. It's that he was taken with.
Who's taken with?
Rambam? Yes.
Rambam was an
Plato.
Okay, whatever it is. This is the legend. Here, so Rashi, the Sivsei Chacham is coming to explain to us the Pshat, another interpretation, not like what the Medrash says. The Medrash says the reason why he was called here Melech B'Yerushalayim, it's alluding to the fact that he lost his power. There was already a tkufa in his life when he went down to Madrega. He no longer was Shalit over the entire world, no longer Shalit over the whole Eretz Yisrael. He was only Shalit on Yerushalayim. Rashi is telling us a different reason. Forget about that. He's saying it's because since this Sefer is Mole Chochma, you have to know that the whole Eretz Yisrael is not the center for Chochma. Chochma has a university. And the university of Chochma was in Yerushalayim because the Chochma comes from Kedusha. The Ir HaKodesh, therefore, since we're going to present Chochma, we focus on the Melech Yerushalayim. Okay, so we learned from Rashi that Divrei Koheles are words of Musar. That's the point we want to make. Now, on the Musar, is all Chochma, and the Chochma comes from the city of Chochma, Yerushalayim. Now we see the Targum. Targum says another Hakdama to the Sefer. Piskame expressions. A piskam is a very, very interesting word. The piskam is not really a translation of the word Divrei. I don't think the Targum translates Divrei all over Tanakh to mean piskame. Piskame has more of a flavor to it. It means ideas. Ideas, concepts,
or,
not just words.
Or motto, or...
Mottos, or...
It's a major principle.
It's a very rich principles, right? Principles. The word piskame is a very rich word. It's not the way you normally would translate the word divrei. Divrei means a word. Piskame means concepts, principles, ideas, hashkafa. It's very rich. Piskame nivuah. Okay, the second chiddush of the Targum is these are not like what Rashi says and what the Targum. Something to disagree, obviously, with Rashi and the Mitzudos, even though he lived only 1,000 years before the Mitzudos, more than that, probably 2,000 years. But you know what I mean? I say disagree. I mean, different approach. But he's saying is that everything here is prophecy. This is not even something which can be logically derived. This all, everything here is nevuah. Not even Ruach HaKodesh. This is a very difficult Targum because we know that anything that's written in one of the differences between the Ksuvim and the Nevi'im is that Nevi'im is Nevuah and Kisuvim is Ruach HaKodesh. And Ruach HaKodesh is a Madregal, this is the Radak, the Hakdama to the Radak in the beginning of Sefer Nevi'im. I mean, one of the Sfarim, the Radak elaborates, and there's Ibn Ezra, there's a lot of Rishon that discuss what's the difference between Kisuvim and the Nevi'im. And one of the fundamental answers is that Nevi'im is Divrei Nevuah, Kisuvim is Ruach HaKodesh, it's a lower Madrega. Well, the Targum disagrees. The Targum says here that Piskamei Nevuah, the Nisnabe Koheles, who is not Koheles? He defines, makes it very clear. Don't make any mistake about it. Who is Shlomo Bar David? Malka the Hava B'Yushalayim. Don't make any mistake, he's the one. This is all words of prophecy, nothing more than that. Okay. Now,
how we got back on the throne, Shlomo,
yeah,
is that he came to get in Samaches. So he came back, I don't know why it only says Sanhedrin over here, because it's over here, Eretz Shvi. When he came in and they thought he was crazy, he came back to the Sanhedrin and he said, I'm Shlomo, and they thought he was nuts, obviously. But he said, let me ask you a few questions. And what he trapped him on was, he asked him if Ashmedai, or who claims to be Shlomo, he's asking for the queens to come to him and have conjugal rights. And it was Shas Midasa. So he says, you know Shlomo would never do that. He knew when everybody was in either, and he asked them to come visit. And when they knew, they realized that obviously could not be
possible.
Shlomo. So he came into the throne room to reassume his throne, and when Ashmedai saw him, he flew away. But nevertheless, he was always afraid of Ashmedai, and that's why it says he had 60 strong men always surrounding his bed to protect him for the rest of his life.
From Ashmedai.
Ashmedai returning.
Okay.
I see in Shira, the Targum also says it was Nevuah.
Echlan, the Targum was Shitasai.
So why wasn't it elevated?
That's exactly the question I'm asking you. So obviously, according to the Targum, that's not the distinction between Nevuah and Ksuvim. This is a famous Radak. Everyone always quotes this Radak. The Radak elaborates what's the distance between the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and he gives this answer. And everyone likes, they love this answer, they work with this answer. The Ruach HaKodesh and this Nevuah. Obviously, the Targum doesn't go with that.
So what is the answer?
What?
According to the
Targum. Well, the Radak also gives other answers. One is that Ksuvim is something that was meant to be written. Nevuah was not meant to be written, it was spoken.
Nevuah means you can foretell something that will happen.
The future, it's another idea, it's another mouth. In Nevuah, there's a reference to future events. Ksuvim is a record of history. Or a chokhmah, a study of wisdom, but it's not. There's nothing in the text that's going to tell you what's going to happen in the future. Probably the most popular answer is that ksuvim was not delivered as a speech. There are very popular people who publish books. They don't give presentations. Then there are orators that give speeches. And sometimes people come along and they happen to record the speech and put the speech into a book form. I remember there are certain very great Balei Musar. And when you read the Musar, I heard this from many people, they said the same thing, I'm not telling you. And the Talmidim who were there present when they gave their Musar Shmuz were in awe. And they were transformed into different people. And when you read the text, when today you take the text and you read the text, you read it, it doesn't say it very much. It's not very original. It's not very original. It's just...
See the person saying.
Oh, exactly. When it was said, the way it was said...
Feel it.
That's what gave it koyach. When it's put in word, when it's put in words, it doesn't have the same koyach. Nevuah, the koyach of Nevuah is when it was said, and it happened to me that it was recorded. And when we study it, we try to go back and bring out the way it was said. Ksuvim was not said. It was put in writing to be read. When you're an expert in writing and you're delivering your message in words, you know, there are audiobooks today. You go in the car, you can download only a billion audiobooks. And some of the best audiobooks, who's the one who articulates? They try to get the author. The one who actually wrote the book, they try to get the author to read the book. Because when he reads the book, he has the right inflection. He knows what he meant.
They get actors, too.
Well, they get actors, because they have the right, the one who really knows what the book says. Because they have the right inflection, the right emphasis. But when you have the computer read the book, The computers can read the book very well today. It's incredible technology. You only get emails, right? You can get someone sends a text message. There's a lot of technology where computers can read. This is very boring. Even the best computers, it lacks the nevuah was meant to be said. Ksuvim was meant to be written. That's what's ksuvim. That's why it's called nevuah. Nevuah is nifsifasayim. Ksuvim is the word in word. That's a very pop. That's not a contradiction to what it says here in the Targum. Because even though it was meant to be written, but it was written with the koyach of nevuah. What?
Dvarim
shebichsav. That's only Torah. That's only Torah. But not nevuah.
Same idea.
This week's parsha.
It's not the same. Cool. Okay. All right. So we've done the first hakpasuk. We've done the hakdama to sefer koheles. Okay. We'll stop here.